Welcome to the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast, a podcast about this nursing life. I'm Nicole Nash-Arnold from Nurse Manager HQ.
And I'm Sue Walker from the Nursing CPD Institute. And together each week, we seek out interesting people to discover what a red-hot nursing life looks like. Today, I welcome to this Nursing Life microphone, Sue Woodford. Sue is a specialist dermatology nurse and has established her own broadband light therapy clinic within an established dermatology practice. Sue has been nursing since the age of 18 and remains passionate about nursing at the fabulous age of 70. Sue, welcome to the microphone.
Thank you, Sue. Glad to be here.
So, Sue, tell me when you decided to become a nurse.
Well, I certainly didn't think I want to be a nurse, and that was my driving ambition. In fact, I can remember in year 11, one of the girls that had left who had done nursing, and she came back to see us all, and she was telling us about her experience being a nurse in PA, and it was gross. I thought, oh, I'll never do that. She was talking about drainage tubes and IDCs and all this. I'd never do that. However, when I had left school and went to work in my first job, I just happened to see an advertisement in the local paper, and it had your own room with a desk and your own bed and wardrobe. And I shared a housing commission house, and I shared a room with my mum. And at 18, oh, I saw that bed and room. I thought, that's what I'm going to do. So, yes, that was my drive, to have my own room where I went into nursing.
How wonderful. So it was the fact that you got to live in your own space.
Exactly.
And 50-odd years later, still in the nursing profession.
Yes, and doing now what I absolutely love.
So you're currently a specialist dermatology nurse. Tell me about establishing the practice. How did that broadband light therapy practice come about?
Well, you have to understand that when you're in private practice and with doctors, they don't readily give over any power over themselves, and most nurses will recognise that. So it wasn't a matter of just walking in and being able to achieve this. It was a matter of when I first went into dermatology after doing a lot of different forms of nursing and a lot of surgical nursing, I needed to have a little bit of extra income, so I got a casual job with some dermatologists. Never done dermatology ever before in my life. I thought they were swearing at me, all these new terminologies. But I loved it because it was a lot of different things to do, and I was just lucked out because the dermatologists that I got to work mostly with, I consider, and still is, the best dermatologist in Australia. And so much variety. He did lasers, specialist in that. He was a specialist surgeon, so I learnt and admired the ability he had to do fabulous repairs. I just had an instinct for what dressings needed, and he relied on me and allowed me to pretty much do what dressing I thought. And I stayed with him for 12 years and worked with many other dermatologists as well. Loved the field, learnt so much, but learnt the way he in particular did his work and how he went about. So he allowed me, which was very new, I don't know that there was any other nurse in Australia that I was aware of, where they started using laser. So he allowed me to do once a week under his guidance. I mean, I didn't have full control. He would see the patient, decide what that patient needed, and I would do it. So I did this for a couple of years, once a week. And then, of course, other nurses that was within Skin and Cancer Foundation, more and more then started to be given little powers of doing different. But I do think I was one of the very first that I'm aware of to do that. So I was then brought across by a dermatologist I work with. She'd always done it on her own, and then she realised, well, how much easier is it when you've got an assistant? She was the specialist in rosacea, and she's a particularly fine doctor in her field, which was totally opposite to the dermatologist I'd been working with. She had no interest in aesthetics at all. And of course, the aesthetic area with dermatology started with dermatologists before it went anywhere else. And your Botoxes and your fillers all really started with dermatologists. She had no interest in any of that, but she did want to do a little bit more for the rosacea patients. Having known that I worked with this very excellent dermatologist and that I had some experience with the laser, she then was prepared, and it's only purely because of her and the way she was, she just said, oh, well, I want to get a machine. She asked me what I suggested and recommended, and I chose the broadband light, and she just bought it. And she just said, here you are, Sue.
How much is a broadband light therapy machine?
Oh, so? At that time it was about $115,000. I think it's up to $130,000.
So a significant investment.
A very significant investment. I mean, I was blown away and a bit scared, I have to tell you, because, I mean, yes, I'd done it under doctors telling me, you know, what to do, but this was totally doing... But what astounded me was that she had... relied on me. She had faith in me, and luckily I haven't proved her wrong, which is quite miraculous.
So that established that getting that machine established you enhancing your knowledge base in the utilization of the machine, finding out what it can do, and now you run your own clinic.
Exactly. I did have a nurse who with broadband light, there's an American machine. She was established in, and she came and taught you for just a day. She stayed with you. But without knowing skin, I wouldn't suggest anybody should do it. Without having that foundation in dermatology and knowing skin and learning the machine is easy, but knowing the consequences and knowing what the end result should be, that's the difference. A monkey can just push a button.
Yeah, it's the understanding that...
The whole
utilization,
the whole thing, and seeing how that original doctor did, he was an example for me to follow. So I established my own protocols and learnt, and sure, it was a learning progress, and you start off a little bit reserved at first, but my idea of nursing, or results more than nursing, was I want people to have a result. I don't want to string things out. It wasn't to make money, which most doctors would do. She never even said, look, Sue, you've got to charge this, you've got to charge that.
I want to recoup the money. She simply wanted to utilise it as a therapy.
Yeah, she just wanted a therapy. So I was also then charging what I thought was reasonable, wanting her to get back some, obviously, what she puts in. But I didn't want to string patients out, because coming from a poor background, I didn't want people... forking out a lot of money, so I wanted to get the best results with as fewer treatments. But then over the years, as it progressed, I'm able to also establish it where they come back by introducing more and more renovative procedures for their benefit, but also for the clinic's benefit. So it's a win-win for everyone, and what I'm enthused about is the results that you get, or I happen to get, is phenomenal. And it's not me, it's just, I do have a knack, I think. I just have an instinct, and I think most good nurses have to have that instinct in whatever it is that they're doing. And I have an instinct to get good results, and I do. I get marvellous results.
During this podcast, the podcast is actually being held aboard a cruise ship as we go to Papua New Guinea. And Sue is a speaker in the dermatology conference that we're holding aboard the ship, and has presented both on broadband light therapy and the creation of her clinic and the establishment of her clinic and the procedures that she does, as well as also a separate session on anti-aging and the effectiveness of the treatments that are available in a dermatological practice for that. And the reason I asked Sue if she would come along and do a podcast is that after 50 years of nursing, she remains passionate in regards to what she can do to assist patients. But the other fabulous thing, because we're holding a few conferences on board, Sue's had the opportunity to attend the Deteriorating Patient Conference that Anne Evans Murray is presenting. So Sue, tell me about your experience there with cardiology.
Oh, I was absolutely blown away. And the presenter could see, because I'm sitting on the sideline and all the normal ones who actually, you know, for attending that conference are all in the centre and I'm just sitting on the side. And at first I thought, I think she felt a little bit intimidated, saying, oh, you know, I'm not holding you up, Sue, or anything like that. But she could just see my excitement from the side of the room. Because, number one, apart from the subject, her way of teaching for me was brilliant. If I had have had a teacher, even at school, I have got a difficulty with memory and recall, but her way of teaching and installing everything she taught and coming back, but not boringly repetitious, but coming back and going over, I found that as she was talking and we were doing the complicated subject of cardiology and I came in on the ECGs. Now, I've always been fascinated with ECGs. This was far simpler method of teaching, far more obvious to retain it. The way she taught was just fantastic. And I feel just in 1 hour sitting there, I learned more on how to interpret ECGs than my whole nursing life. And I thought, if I started again back when I was in my youth, and I loved ED and I loved ICU in those days, but boy, when I see what she's taught me, oh, there was so much I didn't know and I'm blown away by it.
To the point where we met for drinks and Sue said, I think I need to go back to cardiology. So the thing for me was that you remain so excited, you remain curious, you remain interested and willing to learn new things. So 50 years working in the profession, how fabulous to still be energised by knowledge and information and willingly wanting to pass that on for the betterment of patients. So I think that's fabulous. Sue, what is it that you wish all nurses knew so that they could live their best nursing life? That in 50 years' time, if I've just graduated, what do I need to know?
Well, look, I know it probably becomes very boring when you hear we elderly nurses, and there's a lot of us, and there's a lot of us still working. I think they get pretty tired of probably hearing, oh, hospital-based training was so much better. It came out so much more experienced. And I can understand them probably hating hearing this all the time, but my advice I'd give to any new grad is you've got to get that foundation work. And hospital training, yes, we had a lot of lacking, but we had a very strong foundation in all fields. You did your lot of terms on medical, you did your terms in theatre, you did your terms in surgical, you did your terms in orthopaedic, you did your terms, not just one, but multiple, in the paediatrics. You did ICU, you did casualty. And by the time you were finished, you could go anywhere in a hospital and work. And I think that is so sad that that's missing, because really, to get a proper knowledge in anything, you have to have a strong foundation. I would strongly recommend that any nurse should do as much experience in as many fields as they possibly can. Later on, there's plenty of time to specialise, and perhaps during your lifetime, trial different specialties, change your areas, and then you're going to always keep excited, but you're going to carry on all that knowledge in all those other areas that is needed, because there's no field is in isolation. They all require knowledge from each other. I'll just quickly say, when I was having my babies, I found that the midwives, this is just my experience, and I've had four children, the midwives had lost all their general knowledge. And I found that appalling, because yes, you know, they mightn't come across sick patients, but there's always that one time. And you need to know and recognise it. And unfortunately, it wasn't in my case. So how many others? That's my biggest advice I can give anyone. Get that foundational knowledge in all fields.
Yep. Great advice, Sue. So today we have been speaking with Sue Woodford, a specialist dermatology nurse. And I would like to thank you for being our guest at the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast today and sharing with us your knowledge and experience in regards to your nursing career and the specialty of dermatology. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm good, Sue. How are you?
Fabulous. Now, wasn't Sue Woodford a most interesting person?
I love Sue for so many reasons. I loved how enthusiastic she was. Like, I know you talked about that through the podcast, but listening to the fact that 50 years on, she seems to really genuinely love nursing, doesn't she?
She is absolutely amazing. She's excited about it as much now as she was when she first realised that it was going to be the job for her.
Mm.
Like, we were on that conference. Anne Evans-Murray is a cardiac educator, and Sue took herself off to some cardiac lectures. Anyway, she was so excited about the information, as you heard in the podcast, that she said to me, I'm considering a career in cardiology. Like, I am so excited about this information I have found out. Like, she is still curious. And I think if you take anything away from that podcast is if you maintain your curiosity, then that pushes your joie de vivre.
Yes, I think so too. And that's actually, she's one of the reasons why we really started this podcast, because, you know, 50 years is a long time. It's a really long part of your life. And if you're going to spend 50 years in one career path, I think you're going to have to change it up from time to time, because it's going to get boring and it's going to get tedious, and you're going to lose that curiosity and stop being a lifelong learner. And she's an exceptional example of how you can reinvigorate and still get excited about the fact that you don't know something, and that's not a scary thing, that's an exciting thing.
No, yes, she's not coming from the place of, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. She's coming from the place of, I don't know that, but dear God, I want to know that.
I want to. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
I loved hearing you talk about that. I also loved Sue because she's a great example of what you can do when you, A, take a risk, and, B, stay aligned with who you are as a person. So, for example, when she was saying she leveraged a considerable background knowledge about skin, and she says you couldn't do this unless you knew about skin and dermatology. But there she is, and someone says, do you want to run this clinic? And she just goes, yeah, all right, well, I will do that. How hard can that be? And I thought, amazing, like an incredible journey she set herself on by taking a risk instead of staying in the safe, I don't know, the what ifs, the what fors, which are all good thoughts. But still, like, she started on a really interesting path for going, yeah, let's see where this goes.
And she didn't overthink it. And that's one of the things you talk about when you do your management lectures, that I understand nursing is predominantly female, and most women, when they're applying for a job, unless they can fit every one of those key selection criteria, won't apply. Where most men, you know, as long as they fit one or think they might fit one, will apply for the job. And Sue has that same sort of thought process about there's nothing you can't learn, so why not throw yourself into it and see how you go?
And she was safe. She had the backup of her own knowledge.
Exactly,
she had
right.
a team. She had other people that had done it before.
She
it
put
wasn't
systems
like
in place to make sure she was educated.
Yeah.
So
the risks were, you know, she did the job that she needed to do to mitigate the risks, but she just jumped in and rather than restraining herself. And I think that's inspirational.
Yeah, no. And I also love
you know, when we talk about nursing and ask people why do they become a nurse, or what's your advice to a nurse? And the reason she became a nurse was, and she identified that in the podcast as well, based on her socioeconomic status at the time, it was the draw of having your own space. She could have her own room, and that ticked all the boxes for her.
Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. I love hearing the stories as to why people found nursing, because it's not always I wanted to save lives and make a difference.
Yes.
Sometimes it's circumstantial. And I actually asked this to a group of people I was running a course for, and he stood up and he said, I have a twin sister and we both picked two random careers out of a hat. One was engineer and one was nurse, and amongst a whole stack of other, and they picked these careers out of a hat. He got nurse and she got engineer.
What a wonderful way to choose.
I know. So they went there, and yet years on, they're still in it. So you may choose nursing for different reasons, not because you wanted to do it or because for Sue, it was appealing to have a roof and a space. But there's obviously an enormous amount of reasons why she stayed.
And that's it. We've seen hundreds, we've all got hundreds and hundreds of stories about people who started and never stayed. There's one thing to start into the profession, but people soon quickly learn whether they're going to be able to stay. And obviously she had the internal fortitude and the want, people skills, whatever it was, that she decided to stay. And she's blossomed 50 years of in a career and still excited about being a nurse.
I know. And that's the other part that I love about her story, was that the beginning of the story is reflected in the end, and clearly this is not her end because she's going to jump into a career as a cardiac nurse. But for the story it is at the moment, 50 years on, is that I think her words were, I know what it is like to not have money.
Yes.
And so she has leveraged and carved out a place for her world in her career now that clearly aligns with her values. So even though dermatology is largely about aesthetics and not necessarily about function, and so that doesn't appeal to a vast number of nurses, we know that nurses want to make a difference in people's lives, and so that cosmetic world is a niche in part of our industry. But also it's notoriously, for right or wrong reasons, about money, and it's expensive. And yet she's there saying, my practice or the construct within which that I work, don't ask me and don't tell me how much to charge. I run my own show. She runs it with her values that align with her integrity. And I think that's really pretty special.
That's right. And Sue will say, you know, if her clients have money, then they pay, and they pay well. But if her clients don't have money, then they don't pay as much either. And Sue will also say to you, you know, while there's a overarching view of dermatology as well as cosmetics, and I understand they're different paths, but the broad view is that it's all about aesthetics and all about people looking beautiful. The focus is not about beauty per se, though. The focus is about helping people, because whatever it is affecting their ability to either socialise, or is it affecting them psychologically, or indeed it can affect them physically, especially with scarring and those sorts of things. So to be able to free that up is a great thing. But I agree with you. She's working in an area, and the clinic where she does practice is in a very well-to-do area in a major city in Australia. So her client base are the highest of the high socioeconomic indicators, and she has all types coming through her clinic. She has a fabulous reputation, and they do good work. And even the dermatologist she works for, so she's landed in with a group of people who don't work for money, because the dermatologist herself does a lot of work with kids, reconstruction of cleft palates and those sorts of things in third world countries, and does it all for nothing, and is getting on planes with massive cartons of stuff, including clothing and stuff for the community. They're just an amazing group of people.
And it's not amazing how you can be involved in something that, yes, ostensibly it's about aesthetics, but still there are people coming. It's that part of that body positive campaign. It's affecting their life in some way, yep. Even though it doesn't affect their function or their quality of life, it is still affecting their quality of life in another way.
Yep.
And that's a really special thing to be out there doing. It's not just about being totally beautiful and perfect. It's about something really different, and she's still aligned with her values and still aligned with who she is as a person. And I love the other thing that I love, I think her words were, I get great outcomes.
Yes.
And I think that must be so special to have a carved out a niche in the world where you can say, I get great outcomes. It's not we or this team or this unit. It's I get great outcomes. And I think that's incredible, because later she's happy to go, oh, God, I don't know anything about that. But she's really happy to stand up and go, no, I'm actually really good at this.
Yes, and she is really good at it. The other thing I want to say before we start getting dermatology nurses complaining to you, within dermatology, there is a saying, we don't change lives, we save lives, and that's their focus on skin cancer and melanoma. So just to bring into the conversation, you know, they do save lives, especially if people go and get their skin checks done. So that's a vitally important area of dermatology practice that we're not dissing off. We're not saying it's not important.
It's interesting, isn't it, how many subspecialties, like this is one of the conversations that we have about nursing, is that as time moves on, and she even makes the point about being a generalist, but for whatever reason in 2020, being a generalist is notoriously difficult. And even within dermatology, you know, you're talking about skin cancer, patients are being hospitalized for dermatology conditions. You've got her doing more aesthetic and the dermatology. Like, it's so vast. And she has this incredible amount of knowledge, but it would, you know, it's very difficult to say you're a dermatology nurse in this, in a generalistic sort of way, let alone a general nurse. So it's interesting how subspecialized we getting, isn't it, with evidence-based practice as it develops further and further?
Well, you have to have an encyclopedic knowledge now. Like the generalist concept, your knowledge base would have to be huge to be able to maintain currency in everything you needed to know. And I think that's why specialties and subspecialties of the specialty and sub of the sub are coming in, because the more research we do, the more knowledge we have, the greater the ability, the technology to heal or to provide value to a person's life, the harder it is to know it all. I'd hate to be a GP.
Oh, imagine. I think about that sometimes too, like their amount of knowledge. And the same with emergency physicians as well. Like, they're just getting these completely undifferentiated patients. It could be anything,
yep,
from dermatology to cardiac to orthopedic to mental illness to, like, it must be mind-boggling. And I wonder what it must have been like. Like, I started nursing in the 90s, but I know, you know, decades and decades before that generalist thing that everybody sort of moved through different specialties and came out with as the generalist. I actually can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, very difficult. But in Sue's case, if you remain curious, then you can have multiple career paths within your nursing career.
Yeah, she's a cracker.
She is. And it's all about transitioning to what gives you joy. Just don't stay because you think you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you think it'd be too hard to learn the other stuff.
She's a great example of the, it's not too hard, you just do it.
That's it. Well, my darling, on that happy note, we salute Sue and her 50 years of clinical practice.
Indeed we do.
We salute the fact that we need to remain curious.
Absolutely.
And I'm wishing everyone a most spectacular day.
See you soon, Sue.
Okay, mate. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium. Make sure you visit us at the website www.nmemporium.com to subscribe to the podcast.
And if you'd like to put someone forward for us to interview, go to the same website and just click on the button.
See you guys.
Take care. Bye.